Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey, Doug Benson here. A new podcast with two white guys named Doug is not what the world needs right now, but Wide World of Dougs is going to introduce you to Dougs of all races, creeds, and colors. My friend and fellow comedian Doug Mellard.
That's me.
And I are going to meet all the best Dougs to prove that there are some great Dougs in the world and some I'm sure you will want to call friend. And we'll always have some of the funniest women we know sitting in on the conversations as well.
Because nobody knows any women named Doug, but women named Doug are always welcome.
Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love masks. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again during hard times for another Homes Alone edition. It's Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. My guests today are Clark Collis, Joyelle Johnson, and Carmen Lynch. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, boom.
Hi.
I always feel like everybody feels like they need to, be like in sync, like in harmony, like the Three Stooges when I have to introduce everybody all at the same time. Let's say hello individually and alphabetically, starting with first-time guest, senior writer at Entertainment Weekly, is Clark Collis.
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
I don't know why I said it in that fashion. I apologize.
It's the thing you say because it's like, it's like we're talking on the phone. It's old-school phone chat.
Yes.
We're going to listen to.
I should say that, long-time fan, when I dreamed of appearing on Doug Loves Movies, I had an idea it might be in a comedy club, for instance, or some other sort of similar venue,
mm-hmm.
Not sitting on the couch in my mother's house in South Wales, where my sort of childhood home, with my 90-year-old mother sitting 6 feet away from me. That wasn't quite the... hello, Mum. You say hello?
Aww.
Well,
she doesn't want to say hello.
I'll apologize right now for the language because I got some really saucy guests on the show today.
That's okay. I've got my earphones in, so we're good.
Oh, okay. So she's just going to hear just your half, your yes. fourth of the conversation.
I've told her that's the gold, basically. The rest is just not worth listening to at all.
So that's great, though, that you're with your mother and you can do most of what, you know, you're doing a lot of work remotely, I imagine, like, because the
that is true.
World is still churning.
Yes. It's a busy world reporting. It's pretty much a 24-hour job reporting on where Tenet is currently, watching where Christopher Nolan's film Tenet is being released or when it's being released is now like, essentially like watching the stock market. It's like a 24-hour position. You've just got to
track it on
an hour-by-hour basis.
There's this big, show business, you know, movie chessboard that's got that yes. and Mulan and Fast and Furious and James Bond, all these movies that, like, just it's more like, it's about time that the movies were as fluid as people tend to be.
That's true. But it's also, like we have to report every time it moves, and I'm not making light of this, but... Yeah, they say, no, we're not going to release it next week. We'll release it the week after. And you just think, are you watching the news here? I don't think people are going to be going to the movies in 2 weeks' time. You know, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's all cleared up by that. Some people say that it's just going to disappear, but I'm not entirely sure that it is.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be caught off guard if they, keep just moving the... it's like the airlines when they keep delaying a flight by an hour. It's just like, just say it. It's not going to, yes. we're not going to go today.
I agree. And yet, conversely, they're starting to make, they're starting to make the new Jurassic World. They're starting to make the new Matrix movie in Germany. And I understand why they're doing this. But it's like, don't you want to release some of these films? It's like buying someone a birthday present when they haven't unwrapped like the one you've just bought them. You know, it's sort of thinking too far ahead almost, I think.
Yeah, and besides, who wants to see a Velociraptor on a Zoom call?
That is true.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here. Let's
My
say
pleasure.
Hello to Joyelle Johnson, who's returning to the show. How's it going, Joyelle?
It's going fantastic. I just want to make sure Clark's mama ain't feeding him no answers over there, okay? He might be on standby on Google. I don't trust it. Happy to be here and happy to be talking to you, spending some time. Hey, buddy.
You, I think you won the game portion of the show last time.
I didn't win last time. I was robbed.
Oh, okay.
We gotta go.
There was controversy the last time.
There was controversy, and we need to know, are we doing full titles or are we not doing full titles? What are the rules?
Oh, okay. I think we'll have to leave that up to our third guest joining us for maybe her third or fourth time on the show. Her new album, Vertically Obese, is out now. It's Carmen Lynch.
Hi, so excited to be here. It's been a while since I've done this.
Yeah, so, it's been a little while since probably the last time you were on might have been at the Gramercy Theater.
The Gramercy. Sure. So I'm going to say no full titles because I won't remember the full title name either. So
yeah, it's really tough when all these movies keep coming up that have these numbers and colons and it just gets way too complicated. So I'm trying to go easier on people because it is a rough time right now. So the last thing people need is me saying, no, it's not a Fellowship of the Ring. It's the Fellowship.
Darn. And that's one I would have gotten too.
Get it together, Carmen.
I'm trying. I'm not cheating. I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not talking to my parents. They're in the kitchen. So I'm good. I'm not cheating.
Oh, so you're locked in with the family as well?
I'm in Virginia, but I'm going back to New York next week. I haven't been home since March, so I'm kind of excited.
That'll be a nice change of scenery for you, in this thing. And I, you know, the way I understand it, and Joyelle, you can weigh in as well, and Clark probably knows this too. It seems like New York City really, everybody did such a great job of locking down that they're in better shape than a lot of places are right now.
I mean, fingers crossed, yeah. I mean, it says a man who's 5,000 miles away from New York City. But yeah, I think so. But it's just, I don't know. It's just like, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him or her your plans, you know. I mean, Entertainment Weekly, we have two offices. We have two main offices in New York and L.A. And neither of them are occupied. One of the weird things we found is that we can put a magazine out remotely, but we actually don't know how to then send that magazine off to people that we've interviewed or whatever. Someone was like, could you send a magazine, you know, to our client who you interviewed? And I'm like, I have no idea how to do that, because usually I would just walk across the office and stick it in an envelope and then stick it in the mailbox. It's just a weird sort of fluke of technology that we can cause like 2 million issues of a magazine to be printed, but I can't like send it to anybody. But I'm not coming, but basically, there's a long-winded way of saying that I'm not coming back to America until like there's at least an office for me to go to. And I'm not even sure that's going to happen this year. I mean, I've got no insider knowledge, really. But I know the New York Times have said, like, you know, people don't have to come back and work until at least January, which seems like a long time away. But, you know, maybe that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we just don't know. That's the tricky part. Joyelle, what's the word on the street there in New York?
Hey, Clark, stay in Wales. Carmen, what? Stay in Virginia. Doug, stay in wherever, L.A., I don't know, or Texas, where are you?
I'm in California, but I can't. I'm on a no-fly to New York. Like, if I wanted to go to New York right now, I think they'd make me quarantine as soon as I got there.
Because it seems like things are going to go back up in New York, because I've been out, you know, specifically going to like the grocery store, things like that. But people are just out trying to have their margaritas in the sunshine. And God keeps telling us to go inside. There was a hailstorm in Brooklyn on Monday, and I think that's God saying, stay y'all's asses in the house.
Margaritas taste fine inside too.
Sure do. Girl, a bottle is real much cheaper. I take a whole bottle of Jack Daniels and stay my black behind in the house. So I suggest everyone else do as well.
Yeah, I really, it's a shame that, you know, that it seems like we have to go, you know, get back to as locked down as possible to stop this thing. It's, you know, and people don't want to lock it down. So it's just creating a really, really weird situation. Just reminds me of all the disaster movies I grew up on in the 70s, where there was like three or four white men that made a few bad decisions and then all these innocent people have to perish.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think how every zombie movie starts with the virus, and then and then we get here. So I've just been thinking about that as well.
Yeah, and like in Jaws, they make a big deal out of closing the beach because, you know, they say you should close the beach because of sharks. And then they do close the beach after one person dies. And this is much bigger, and they're still arguing about whether or not the beach should be open.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's also interesting how, especially films, like every single film seems to have more resonance regardless. Like, I'm sure if I was to watch like Ernest Goes to Camp, there would be a reason why that film like resonated with me 10 times stronger than it would a year ago. Because you see movies with, you know, where there's like one or two people in a hollow, you know, one or two people on a desert island or whatever, and you're like, oh, like that's like me. And then you see people with, you see movies with big crowds and you're like, oh, that's what we used to be. And it's almost like no matter what dumb movie it is, I'm just sitting there weeping, you know, right? Because there's either too many people or too few or something, or a dog or whatever. The dog's not
yeah. Loud. But it's a constant perspective check to be watching these things. And, you know, that's why, you know, I make a big part of the show now about, you know, just discussing the kinds of things we're watching and what we would recommend for, you know, there's everybody's kind of reacting differently, but some people want stuff that's very comforting or nostalgic, and other people want you know, stuff that's new to take their, you know, everybody's got a different approach. Yeah. Is there anything, let's just go through and I'll ask all of you, starting with whoever feels like they have a movie to recommend first.
I have a Nobody. Movie to not recommend.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll start off with, this is something, this is Joelle Johnson's.
This is even more exciting.
I
watched The Lovebirds last week.
Ew. It already sounds bad.
It was pretty bad, and I was rooting for it because it we had all the ingredients. We have Issa Rae and her beautiful black skin on the screen. We got an interracial colored relationship, but it was just too like zany. It was just like, what? I don't understand what's happening at this point.
Yeah,
so it kind of went off the rails.
That Carmen, that's the one. Kumail Nanjiani is it's
oh yeah,
Issa
yeah.
Rae. And it's very much like Scorsese's After Hours or Out of Towners or something, where it's a couple that just gets kind of ensnared in all this criminal activity, or like Date Night. You know, it's just one of those movies where, you know, just all these weird incidents keep happening, and they're two very likable actors. But yeah, I agree with Joelle. It's just like, it's frantic. And at one point... And at one point, Issa Rae chooses, you know, it's supposed to be a funny scene. It makes no sense because they get choices of what kind of torture they're going to endure from some bad guys. And they're like, would you like some hot grease poured on your face, or would you like to be kicked by a horse? And Kumail gets kicked by a horse, and then Issa goes, I want the hot grease. Like, she doesn't want to be kicked by the horse. But there's no way she would pick the hot grease to the face over getting kicked by a horse.
And I was like, why are these the choices? What was this brainstorm like? I was like, this weed wasn't involved. Like, I can tell when movies like weed was involved. I'm like, this was a different drug that was involved in the brainstorming of this scene.
The psychedelics. Lady, the bad guy in that movie is just a crazy lady who just sitting around thinking about, well, we have a barn and a kitchen. That's two ways we could torture them.
You say it seems like an unlikely choice between being, you know, hot oil or a horse. And I'm not saying that my schoolboy days were quite like that, but we had a really strange art teacher. And to fully understand this, you need to know that children's sneakers in Britain, certainly in the 70s, were called Daps. That was like a sort of nickname for kids' sneakers. And like plimsolls, you know, like the kind of sneakers that kids would do gym in. And if you were bad, the art teacher would give you a choice between Roger the Ruler and Donald Dapper. And Roger the Ruler was being hit over your knuckles with a ruler, like a wooden ruler. And Donald Dapper was being smacked on your ass with like his sneaker, right? But which is weird in itself, but also he had anthropomorphized, you know what I'm saying. He had given human characteristics to these two implements of corporal punishment. Roger the Ruler, a male ruler, and Donald the Dapper, another male, a plimsoll. It was very weird indeed. And then you had to sort of, I was like nine, you had to choose with which thing you would be beaten. I guess I'm revealing too much on this show.
Which one did most people pick?
I think they would pick the one they didn't choose the time before, you know, because you're like, well, I remember that.
Let's change it up a little bit this time.
Well, if your ass still hurts from the dapper, you got to pick the ruler, yeah.
For sure, yeah. It was also that guy.
Roger the Ruler.
Yeah, that guy was later arrested for flashing people on...
lovely.
I know. It was quite a... this was a private school that my parents were paying people for me to attend. So there you go. And that's why Britain should not be in charge of anything.
Okay.
Just in case beat you at a private school, where can they beat you?
That's true. That is true. There you go. Sorry, I think I've brought things down a bit here, but there you go.
Well, I'm traumatized now. I'm kidding. I'm fine.
Is there something you could recommend, Carmen?
Well, I like to watch sad things. I don't like to watch happy love stories because I don't know why. I guess I'm just not, I don't know. I do better when I watch like depressing shit. So I watched The Pharmacist. It was about opiate addiction. It's not funny, but it was good. Sorry I laughed.
Is it a documentary or?
It's a documentary about a farm. This man was amazing. It was a pharmacist and his son, I'm not giving anything away really. It was in the first hour that his son died from whatever that drug is. I can't think of the name of it right now, but he notices that it becomes this, you know, this horrible addiction in his pharmacy. All these kids come in and have these fake prescriptions of whatever that drug is. Can anyone remember the big opiate drug?
Ketamine?
Opioid? Oxycontin, that's it, yeah. And that's just lovely, lovely to watch, you know, you just learn. I like to watch documentaries, you know? So there you go. That's my two cents.
It's called The Pharmacist.
The Pharmacist.
Okay. And yeah, where did you watch it?
I watched it here with my parents.
I mean, what streaming service is it?
Oh, Netflix. Netflix. Oh, I was wondering why you asked. Like, you really cared who I saw it with. But
yeah, what were you eating at the time? What was the snack of choice?
My parents just got Netflix like a week ago when I came down to see them. And they still forget they have it. They're like, well, let's watch something on NBC. I'm like, you have Netflix now. You know, there's a lot. But they don't know how to pick. They don't know how to pick something.
Just point them to season one of Floor is Lava.
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's so dumb. It's like it's a game show where the set, the floor is like.
Oh, yes. I've heard about that. Okay, yeah.
What?
I'm gonna hook them on Love is Blind or 90 Day Fiancé or one of those.
Oh my God, there's a movie right now. What's his name, Clark? Gaspar Noé?
Gaspar Noé, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a movie called Love that's on Netflix now. And it starts off with like full on graphic, pornographic sex scene. Like without even credits. There's no credit. Just start.
Just go in.
That sounds like Outlander. Have you seen Outlander? There's so much sex in it. I was watching it with my boyfriend's mother, and I thought I was watching porn.
It's wild. It's wild how dirty Netflix is getting.
Yeah. Well, this would be stars, but still, yeah.
Yeah, there's that thing, 365 Days. It's got like 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it just looks like it's a softcore porn movie.
Why didn't they just call it A Year?
Probably because numbers come before letters in the alphabet, and if you have a movie that begins with a number, you're at the very beginning of everybody's list of movies when they go to buy. Yeah, it's like a new strategy to have like a movie that begins with the letter A, so you're not buried in the alphabet of movies.
They also very specifically wanted you to know that it wasn't a leap year. That's the thing. They didn't care which year you thought it was, as long as it wasn't a leap year.
Take a decade. Two or three of those years might not be in play here. Okay, so Joyelle says don't watch Lovebirds. Carmen says The Pharmacist, especially if you're missing if you had an Oxycontin habit and you want to relive that. And,
yeah.
If you want to see what's his name went through, what's the name of the guy? Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh. What do you think, Clark?
I was going to say, maybe I'm misunderstanding this game, but I think I might pick something that people do actually want to watch, or some people. But I'm plugging my own stuff here, really. But it's the 10th anniversary of Edgar Wright's film, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes.
And I wrote an oral history of it for Entertainment Weekly. And obviously, you know, before I started doing that, rewatched it. And it's just a blast, I have to say. And it's got this, you know, then, well, still young, but then very young cast of up-and-coming stars, Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Chris Evans, who's particularly excellent, Brie Larson, basically half the MCU are in this film. It's very well cast. I would be hard-pressed to... It's one of those films you kind of have to see to quite get the hang of. It's got a lot of music in it. It's about, you know, Michael Cera plays this guy who's in a Canadian indie rock band who it's funny because right at the start, he has a high school, he's in his 20s and he has a high school girlfriend and he sort of cheats on the high school girlfriend with an Amazon courier played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And you're like, well, I know Michael Cera's, you know, goofily charming, but how is he going to dig himself out of this hole to make himself, you know, the audience embrace him? But you kind of do, and it's, you know, it's inspired by video games and comic books, and it's a graphic novel adaptation, and it's also a sort of a superhero movie, and it's just a lot of fun. But also, I had the opportunity. I mean, so that's my recommendation. But also, I had the opportunity to talk to the cast, and it was, you know, some movies. You know, people aren't falling over themselves to talk about Anaconda, for instance. J-Lo's not, like, getting on the phone to talk about that time she battled a giant snake. But Scott Pilgrim is a movie that didn't do that well at the box office, but that everybody involved in it really loves. And so, you know, there was a week where, like, Jason Schwartzman is calling me, and Michael Cera, and Chris Evans. But because it's in the evening, I might have had a couple of drinks before a couple of these conversations. Because they're, you know, these interviews are set up sometimes on short notice, and I'm in the UK. And also, as I'm demonstrating amply now, I am talking way too much on those occasions when I get.
I've had about 15 things I've wanted to say during this.
you'll have to apologize for me, because to be honest, Doug, when you email me saying, do you want to be on the show, I'm like, I will talk to anybody. Like 3 months ago, I'd have been honored to be on Doug Loves Movies. Now I just want to talk to anybody. And so, you know, what I'm saying is Jason Schwartzman knows a lot more about my personal life and sort of problematic relationships of the past 3 years than anybody else on the face of the planet. I've come on to apologize to Jason Schwartzman. Should he be?
He'll listen to this.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. You've had Edgar as a guest, Doug, right? On Edgar Wright, the director.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. First of all, I love the expression Amazon courier in association with Mary Elizabeth Winstead, because she's tall and she worked for Amazon. And then also, I was when it came out in the summer of 10 years ago, I was a huge fan, you know, from opening weekend. I believe it opened against Expendables movie, and that's how I feel about those movies. They're perfectly named. But in the case of Scott Pilgrim, I was just like, just blown away by, you know, everything about it. And so I talked a lot about it on social media. And then Edgar Wright reached out to me because he's, you know, sad that his movie that, you know, turned out so great just wasn't really received because people didn't know what it was. And and we became friends. And as a result, I've met almost, maybe there's one or two that I haven't yet, but I've met almost everybody in Scott Pilgrim through Edgar, and they are all just wonderful, awesome people, and keep seeing them all get more and more popular and famous as time goes on.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Sorry about that, Joyelle and Carmen. Clark and I had to catch up about a movie.
Sorry.
Yeah, I actually went to grab some food and I'm back, so I'm good.
I cooked the whole pie.
But that is always a great recommendation to people to check out Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And there's something else in addition to your oral history, Clark. Isn't Edgar teasing that something else is about to happen with Scott Pilgrim?
He was saying, well, to start with, they were going to re-release it in August, and they may still do in the same way that anything can happen in the next month. It is possible they may be re-releasing Scott Pilgrim in August, but definitely they are planning to do so at some point, even if I guess the 10th anniversary celebration re-release becomes an 11th anniversary re-release. I have no idea. But yeah, they're also talking about maybe doing, they're a bit cagey about it, but maybe doing some sort of like animated, like another version of the story that, that was animated this time around, which people got quite excited about. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, obviously it would lend itself to animation, having been based on a graphic series of graphic novels in the first place. All right, so let's, you know, take some pills and watch a double bill of The Pharmacist and Scott Pilgrim, and when not Lovebirds the comes on, turn it off. Yeah, no Lovebirds. Lovebirds are out. But, you know, also it's on Netflix, so if you like Issa Rae and Kumail, I would say still give it a give it a watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to go to a brief. Sorry?
I was just going to say, I could also recommend a documentary, I Am Not Your Negro, James Baldwin.
Oh, of course.
Black Lives
James
Matter.
James Baldwin. Yeah. Clark, talk about that for 20 minutes. Go.
Yeah, oh, great, because I need to go shower, so go ahead.
But that is just, a great
documentary. I was just glad you didn't cut her off, saying, no, we did not have time. You
sorry.
That would not have been a good look all around.
Sorry, you wasted all your time on Lovebirds. We could have been talking about Black Lives Matter, but Lovebirds need some more attention. But yes, I'm going to go to a commercial break right now. And when we come back, we're going to play a game people are talking about from coast to the same coast. They're not talking about that much. We'll be right back.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back! And it is time to play a game inspired by the popularity function on the IMDb website and app. It's called, this game is called Weird Algorithm. Because, did you know this, Clark, that, or any of you for that matter, that if you go on IMDb and you click on view the entire cast of a movie, it'll show you the list of everybody that's in the movie, you know, basically listed as they are in the credits in the movie, either alphabetically or billing or whatever. And you can click on a thing that says, no, let's see the same list of people from this movie, but in order of their popularity, according to IMDb's algorithm, which I assume is just searches on IMDb for things.
Well, that's just crushing. I mean, what kind of psychopath would think that up? Not the gang. The gang's fantastic, but, you know.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Is it's sort of like, you know, I'm loath to tell actors about it because I feel bad for them looking themselves up and seeing how they rank. But it's all so random and silly. And
like, this business isn't hard enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's...
And those rankings change all the time, right? Like, the number one person changes, what, like, every day or week or something like that?
Oh, yeah. It's all depending on, like, you know, things that are going on in the news and in entertainment news. Pop culture in general will shift these things. And as you'll see, like, these are all ones that I looked up today, so they should be up to date, but it's still... It's still a very, very strange algorithm, so it gives everybody a chance. I'll name a movie, then I'll go to each of you and ask you to name an actor or actress you think would be the you know, the most popular person in that movie today. And then if you name the top person, you get 3 points. Second person, 2 points. Third person, 1 point. And after three rounds, whichever one of you has the most points is the winner.
Nice.
Any questions?
Oh, I'm ready.
I'm just wondering, like, if you commit a crime, like you get Me Too'd or something, does that make your popularity grow
up? I'm sure it does.
If you're trending on Twitter.
I thought you meant if I commit a Me Too crime in the course of playing this game. I was like, what?
Come on, Joel, he's there with his mother. Come on.
He's got a Roger.
Just because he's all the way over there in South Wales, you got to be careful.
I said it's my mother. All you've heard is a muffled female voice in the distance. Yes. So, you know, I don't, you know.
Someone is tied up nearby. We know that much.
That's true.
Yay.
Okay. So, Clark, you're up first because we're going to go alphabetically, but each of you will get a chance to go first. Plus, you can share answers. It's a sharing game. Mm. If you all agree, you can just share it.
That's
huge. Share the victory.
I'm going to say whatever Clark says, probably. Just kidding.
Okay. So the first movie, it's going back a little bit, from 1978, and it's called The Wiz.
Yes!
Big screen adaptation of the stage version of The Wizard of Oz called The Wiz. Right. What do you think, Clark? Who in that movie do you think would justify... Would be the,
I'm worried that I'm going to name the cast of a completely different movie. that I will be basically racist towards black movies, and they'll be like, "Do all black movies look the same to you?" That's the cast of this movie, of Car Wash. This is like Tyler Perry. I'm genuinely terrified by this, but this is with Michael Jackson in The Wiz, right? Right.
He is. I can confirm that he is indeed in it.
Well, in that case, I'm going to say Michael Jackson. I mean, even though he seems like a pop. I mean, I'm not making a joke. He seems like somebody people would know.
Indeed.
Most popular now. Most popular trending like right now.
Yeah, today. But you know, like I said, this algorithm, it's really unpredictable. You're gonna. I think whenever I give you the answers, there's always some shocking information.
Okay, then I'll just add to the fun and just say Diana Ross.
I mean, she's Dorothy.
Yeah, let's go for that. I mean, I feel like Clark is correct, but I'm just going to mix it up a bit.
Okay, it's a smart play, I think. I mean, I know how it's going to work out, so I really can't tell you what kind of play I think it is. Carmen?
Well, those are the only two I remember in the movie. So I'm going to go with Michael Jackson.
Oh, wait. Can I change my answer?
You sure can.
Because she was just trending the other day, so I'm going to say Lena Horne.
Oh, yeah, I think she celebrated a birthday recently.
It was her birthday the other day.
No.
So I'm going to say Lena Horne just because. Yes.
It was so funny, too, because when someone's passed away and then it's been a few years and then they have a birthday and people are like, happy birthday, Lena Horne. Like, when they don't throw the word late in there, I start to get – I got, like, almost excited. Like, wait, I thought Lena Horne was dead. Like, that's awesome if she's not dead. And then, of course, she is dead. All right.
Yeah. Exactly. Meanwhile, Olivia de Havilland is 104.
I was just going to say, she's still alive. That's crazy. She's like 104.
Yeah.
104. They show a picture of her when she was, probably 80.
Yeah. There's no current.
Okay. So, this always shakes out in a really interesting way. I'm just grateful that there weren't any roles for white people in this movie because, unfortunately, they probably... be number one. Nipsey Russell played the Tin Man. He was at number nine, and then Ted Ross as the Lion is number eight. Quincy Jones appears briefly playing an organ in that place they go
Emerald
to at
City.
The end, Emerald City. Yeah, he's sitting there playing. He's like the musician at Emerald City, so it's a little cameo for Quincy.
Yeah, he's in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. And then sixth place is Lena Horne.
Ooh.
So pretty good ranking considering she hasn't been with us for a while. This is another weird one. In fifth place, Iman, the fashion model.
What? Oh, so nice.
Who did she play?
She's like an extra in it or something.
Nice.
Like she's just like a cool looking person, probably also in the Emerald City.
Yeah, I bet she was there, yeah.
Yeah, and then Diana Ross comes in at number four.
Nice.
Diana Ross would not appreciate coming in at number four.
Absolutely yeah. not.
yeah. No, she.
And fans will be rolling over IMDb if Miss Ross yeah. gets knowledge of that.
Wait till she hears that the other Supremes were higher than her.
What?
Florence.
But you were, points need to be awarded for those who said Michael Jackson because he did come in number three.
Mm.
So who said Michael? Clark said Michael.
I said Michael as well.
And Carmen said Michael. So you each have 1 point, but Joyelle is close behind with no points. Here's another weird one. Ranked second in The Wiz, someone who is a guest at Aunt Emma's party and is uncredited.
Wow.
Robin Givens.
Nice.
Whoa.
That's a deep cut, baby.
Wow.
How weird is that? And then this is actually pretty cool and a nice sign for his legacy. Number one out of all the gifted and amazing people in The Wiz, number one is The Wiz himself, Richard Pryor.
Nice.
Oh. I forgot he was in it.
Dur.
Yeah, because he just shows up at the end and he's behind the curtain. But there you go. So that's round one. We got two more rounds to go.
If all of the films are blaxploitation musicals, I'm going to be frantically trying to lose for the next.
Well, you know,
let me assure you of that.
All I do is sit around and try to think of ways to make Joyelle look good, and so
and I don't succeed.
I know, right? It totally.
You're saving it for the end, Joyelle.
I mean, come on. Is there anybody less likely to beat me than the white man in the south of Wales?
I was hoping for Chariots of Fire or some Merchant of Fire, anything with Emma Thompson or Anthony Hopkins. You know.
Well, I think this might be better for you, this next one. But Joyelle does get to go first this time. And it's the motion picture with an exclamation point at the end of the title. It's so exciting. Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Mm.
Also based on a Broadway musical, so you guys know what the theme is here.
Yeah, I'm going to come out the gate and say Meryl Streep.
That's fair. She is, I assume she's the mama. Who are they referring to in that title? I think it's just an expression.
I mean, there are a lot of old white women in that movie, but...
Oh, I guess maybe it's the daughter is saying, Mamma mia. What have you done, Mom? Why did you have sex with three guys in one weekend?
God, I can't remember who the guys in that are.
I know one of the dudes.
Just imagine some bad singing.
Some actors
that just makes
singing.
Me think of Russell Crowe for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. The women in Mamma Mia are all songbirds, and then the men are famous actors who are willing to try.
All right, I can't remember their names, so that's not going to help. So I'll say, you know what? I'll say Meryl Streep because I can't remember those guys.
Okay,
name one of the men.
What do you think, Clark?
I'm gonna. I actually went to see Mamma Mia on Broadway with my mother, who I'm pretending is here, and you know, not a young girl tied up. I'm gonna say, because I think it would have amused you to see her at number one, I'm gonna say Christine Baranski.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
That would amuse me. That would amuse me a great deal, and she should be a pretty popular figure right now because of. The Good Fight,
mm-hmm.
which I hear is great, but I never even watched The Good Wife, so it's I feel like I can't catch up at this point.
But then wouldn't Meryl be number one? I mean, in all honesty, like if I, my life depended on it, I would say Meryl. But I'm not going to change my mind. I'm going to stick with Christine Baranski.
You're going to lock it in,
yeah,
Christine Baranski and Meryl Streep for Joyelle and for Carmen.
Yep.
All right. I only wrote down to number four, but I thought it was interesting because four is Stellan Skarsgård.
Oh,
great actor, not a great singer. Number three, and his singing in this and the sequel, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, which I think that title is just in reference to this man, is Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah, Remington Steele.
That's the only one I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You took my heart away. You made me feel so good.
That's pretty good.
It was brutal. but coming in at number two, Meryl Streep.
Yeah, she was just trending the other day as well.
So that's 2 points for Joyelle and 2 points for Carmen for that. And number one is, of course, what I was speculating is the title character played by Amanda Seyfried.
I was not saying her name correctly.
Did you? Well, that's the thing about her is that I think she just lets it slide when people say it one way or the other. Like, I don't think she corrects people ever. Because I just remember always wondering which one it really is. Do you know, Clark? Do you know how it's pronounced?
I do not.
You've never had to interview her and say it out loud?
No, and also you actually don't. One of the great things about interviewing people is you actually don't have to say their names for the most part, because I wouldn't come in if someone said, "Oh, you're interviewing with Doug." I'm like, I wouldn't be coming in going, "Hello, Doug Benson. My name's Clark Collis. How's it going?" You know, it doesn't really come up that much. Amanda Seyfried? I don't know. I really don't know. I have the confidence of somebody that really has no idea.
I remember working on. I was helping write the jokes for a MTV Movie Awards,
mm-hmm.
and she was a presenter, and so it became a big debate. You know, one of those things that is amazing about show business, where everybody sat around for 20, 30 minutes trying to figure it out, and then using different sources. And one place would come back at Seyfried, another place would come back and say it's Seyfried, and like it's just like. No consistency on how to pronounce it. And to this day, I feel like I still don't know.
Yeah, so I don't like that.
I was watching Charlize Theron being interviewed on the TV last night, because it's the kind of exciting thing I do now. And there was a whole discussion, like the first, it was weird because she was promoting this movie. And there was like a 10-minute discussion the two interviewers, the two hosts of this chat show were sort of talking to her, not really letting her have a word in edgeways, much like I'm doing with you folks, about how you pronounced Theron. And it turns out that no one's ever got it right. And she said how you pronounced it. And it was like the brown note or something. It was like something that only dogs could hear. It was like, I'm like, no way. And I come from Wales where nothing is understandable. And it was just like, it was, I, you know, there's no way I can pronounce it like that. Given
she burped? No.
It was like that. It was very much like that. You know?
Yeah. I always thought it was Theron.
But she's someone that's just given up on correcting people.
You know, yeah, it's a South African guttural thing, probably.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of people pronouncing names right, because people always mess up my name. And same thing happened. I do warm up for the Patriot Act when we were able to tape, and Hasan Minhaj, his name is Hasan, and people were calling him Hassan for the longest. And then he got on Ellen and had like a 10-minute discussion about pronouncing his name right. And he said his father was so disappointed, but it's like, no, pronounce my name right. So, yeah.
That should be the first thing that comes up when you Google somebody. It's a clip that has them or somebody else correctly pronouncing their name.
That's true, because they do that for the definition of words. You can click on that little microphone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because I'd really like to just know, you know, I just like to know, because I hate saying somebody's name wrong to their face.
Doug, how do you say your last name?
Beato Hole.
Oh, sa!
Okay, so... Wow, this is exciting. We got Clark with 1 point, Joyelle with two, and Carmen with three as we barrel into the third and final round. And first up is Carmen.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Carmen.
But you got, you know, you have plenty of time.
I know. All right, here we go.
Don't worry about changing your answer. You got plenty of time. We'll lock it in after everybody's decided.
Okay.
The film from the same year as The Wiz, interestingly enough, I would not have guessed this, 1978. It's Grease.
Okay. Oh my gosh, what is her name? I can't remember her name. Can I call her by her character name, or is that bad?
What's her character name? Maybe we can help you.
Rizzo.
Oh, Stalker Channing.
Yes, Stalker. I'll go with her.
She was 43 when they made that movie.
She might as well be. She's great.
Yeah.
She was like
late 20s. I mean, they were all in their, all the high school students were in their 20s, except for, I think, Olivia Newton-John was closest to her real age, or closest to what she was supposed to be, but she was still probably 20, 21 or something. All right, what do you think, Clark?
I think I was trying to be too cute last time, and I think I would be foolish not to say John Travolta. I think that's my guess.
Well, that's kind of forcing Joyelle to not be foolish.
Well, I didn't really mean it like that.
It's like you're preemptively insulting.
Or he's calling me foolish.
You're insulting everybody.
Yeah, wow.
Oh boy, I am going to be me too before the
put your mother on, please.
Well, since I got challenged to be foolish, I'm gonna be cutesy and say Lorenzo Lamas.
Nice,
very nice.
That's a fun answer, Lorenzo. Okay, back to you, Carmen. Do you want to stick with Stalker Channing?
Wow. Yes, I will.
Okay. And Clark is sticking with Johnny Travs.
Yeah.
You ever interview him?
I did. He is oddly, only over the phone, he is oddly shy, I have to say, given the, you know, sexy cockiness that he tends to exude. He is not as you would imagine. I mean, he was very nice, but really, really quite shy, which always, I never understand how people, it's like De Niro. I mean, not that De Niro is shy particularly, but he's a real tough interview. And you're like, well, you're a really good actor. Can't you just like act as if you're somebody who can do an interview? You know what I mean? Like you can pretend you're somebody who murders people. Pretending you're somebody that can string seven words together would seem easier than that. But he was fine. It was also for that movie, The Fanatic, the Fred Durst movie, which I didn't like as much as some of other John Travolta movies, I think it's fair to say. But there you go.
Oh, I don't even know that one.
It was directed by Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit fame. John Travolta plays a stalker who stalks a character who stalks like a horror movie actor, essentially. It's
weird.
Yeah.
I know Fred Durst directed that movie with Ice-T, the Comebacks or something like that.
Right. I mean, it wasn't quite my thing, I think it's fair to say. But
And real quick, Ice Cube. I said Ice Tea.
I was about to say.
But it's Ice Cube.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so.
Black Ice Matters. I don't know. I'm going to say Olivia Newton-John, since we change in answers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, interesting.
You
I kind of.
In?
Okay.
Or you want to change yours, Carmen?
Well, I kind of wanted to, but I didn't want to piggyback. But I'm going to leave it, actually. I'm going to leave it.
With Stalker Channing?
Yeah.
Okay, so Clark is saying John Travolta. Joyelle is saying Olivia Newton-John. And Carmen's going with Stalker Channing. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
At number four, because that's all the only ones I wrote down. A lot of people in that movie. But that was such a good pull. Lorenzo Lamas finished number four.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so close. But nobody actually ended up going with him. Number three is Rizzo.
Oh, yes.
Stalker Channing. And number two, so that's one more point for Carmen, so she's up to 4 points. Number two, this is another one of those ones that this site comes up with these, and I'm like, I can't believe this. Apparently, the actor Michael Biehn, who's in the Terminator movies, and Avatar, I guess, which one was he in? He's in a bunch of James Cameron movies.
Yeah.
He has an uncredited role. He does something in Greece. Like, he's in there somewhere. So he's second. But what has he done lately that, why would he be so popular?
I do not know. Because he was in a bunch of Cameron movies. He's the guy that comes back from the future in Terminator.
Yeah, he's either,
I can never remember, but he's either Hex or Hudson in Aliens. He's the one that isn't Bill Paxton. He's great, but no, I can't think of what he's done recently.
Oh yeah, he's the bad guy in The Abyss. I thought he was really good in that, because he goes crazy because of the pressure of being underwater. Okay, number one, it is John Travolta.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I feel like, but I'm kind of a ringer here. I don't think it's fair. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of, I'm not funny. I work at an entertainment magazine. It's just not fair.
Well,
I would take it.
Here's the thing. First of all, you're tied with Carmen. We have a two-way tie.
Oh, okay.
Joyelle is tired of winning, so she doesn't mind just hanging out for a second.
I'm so cute.
It's winning all the time, but I don't think it's unfair at all that you, I don't think you brought any particular advantage to this, Clark.
I thought you were going to say, you didn't bring any other particular talents to this show. So at least
I just have been tired of, I've been talking too much lately, and I just wanted to get a guest who could take over that for me. you've been a delight, because this is our first time meeting, just over Zoom, and I really appreciate you being here. But you and Carmen need to go head to head now. This is a speed thing. The first person you can tell me, so you can just take a few guesses each as quickly as possible, who is the second most popular person, not the top person,
ooh,
who's the second most popular person in the motion picture went the other route, was turned into a Broadway musical, the movie Beetlejuice.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Who's number two?
Winona Ryder?
That is correct.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Yeah, because Michael Keaton got the number one slot. And then Catherine O'Hara, Gina Davis, and Alec Baldwin. I mean, but that's a solid – those five people all had substantial and ongoing careers, and even one of them did some archery. It's pretty amazing.
You'd think Alec Baldwin would be number one because of all his SNL stuff.
Or even Winona, because she's, on Stranger Things.
Yeah, I think that's why she's two. I think Catherine O'Hara is three because of Schitt's Creek is really popular, and Keaton's number one in that case because now he's talking about, aren't they discussing with him coming back and playing Batman in something?
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah,
the only Batman.
Joelle is on the record that Michael Keaton is the only Batman.
I agree.
He was great. So good.
He's terrific.
He did bring like a personality that nobody else bothered to do with Batman. They all think he should just be boring.
Yeah, his quirkiness is so fun, and it's like
Superman can be boring. Batman needs to be. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so congratulations to Clark. The other thing I was going to say, though, when you were saying it's unfair, is that you don't win anything. You know, there's no prizes. I mean, you can strut around South Wales bragging about it all you want.
Except I can't, because I'll be wearing a mask. But yes.
Yeah. Well,
it'll be like. They won't understand what I'm saying.
You'll have to lift it up to, get a pint in there when you're down.
I'm just thinking how I'm going to, if there's any way that I can explain to my mother that I won something this evening and what that thing was.
Moms are always proud, though. I'm sure she'll be proud of you.
I guess.
Yeah. She must be very impressed that you're...
I will say, I once came... the only thing I've ever really won was... I won a journalism award for writing, this is really dumb, but I won a journalism award for writing a feature about why they never made a third Fletch movie, which I think on my deathbed, I'll think I spent a month writing a feature about why they never made a third Fletch movie. And I went to this ceremony, and it was, the thing with journalism awards is they don't really, the categories aren't in genres, but they're in length. So if your like feature is 2,000 or 3,000 words, you're up against other articles that are 2,000, 3,000 words, regardless of their subject matter. And I was honestly up against a feature about this busload of nuns who'd been murdered. And I was just like, please don't let me win. Please don't let me win. And mercifully, I didn't win. And I came second. And it was this glass trophy, which I wrapped up and I sent to my mum in, this was in New York, and I sent it to my mum in Wales. And 2 weeks later, she called me up really worried. She was like, why did you send me a box of broken glass? And it was as if I'd like, was like the mafia, and had sent her a box of broken glass as a warning because the trophy had smashed into smithereens.
All right, there's a lot to go over there and what you all that. But I'm just going to jump to the murdered nuns. What did they do to deserve it?
I don't know. I mean, nothing. To be clear, they did nothing to deserve it. I mean, they were
piss somebody off.
I mean, they clearly pissed somebody off, but I want to try to get out of this without being cancelled. The nuns were innocent in this situation. I just didn't want to be victorious over the article.
Yeah, that is very shocking. That just goes to show you how much better a writer you are, because it seems like a slam dunk for that person who wrote that article for there to be sympathy, whereas right. Your article, you had to have people sympathize for who, Kevin Smith?
Yes, it was Kevin Smith.
Could each of you please send me, especially the winner, Clark, could each of you, if you have like a crown sitting around or a trophy of some kind, if you still have your award from the 2,000 words, please send me a picture of each of you, send me a picture of yourself in your environment in which you participated in this, and I'll throw it together and make a collage and put it on my social media. And is there anything specific you like to promote, starting with Clark Clawless, EW?
Just to tell people, Entertainment Weekly is an excellent magazine that everybody should subscribe to. It's a real bargain. And my Twitter handle is at Clark Clawless.
Love it. Thank you. Joelle Johnson.
Oh, man, we're not doing the final game. I don't have a way to redeem myself. Whatever.
That was the final game. We've been together for an hour now.
I know. I always thought that last game of us choosing an actor is the final game. Anyway.
Oh, that is fun. Yes.
I am at Joyelle Nicole on social media. And yeah, I'm doing stretches and stories on Saturdays on Instagram Live, but I might switch that. But yeah, look out for stretches and stories because I'm also a yoga instructor and I like to talk a lot of shit. So
I love it. That's cool. It's funny. The same thing happened to when I switched it up on when Lisa Traeger was on. She said the same thing when I was wrapping it up. Like, aren't we going to do the one where we name all the, like, she was looking forward to that too. So apologies.
That's a fun one.
Apologies for changing it up on you. And I'll try to remember. I'll try to have both of you back to play that game specifically.
Oh, good.
Oh, and, please let me go head to head with Lisa. I would love it. Please.
And the guy who wasted half an hour with his long, tedious stories will not be invited back. But there you go.
You know, the next time I need somebody to tell everybody what Scott Pilgrim is, I'm going to give you a holler.
It's true.
But I feel that way all the time because I always want to talk about Scott Pilgrim. Carmen Lynch, the album, it's out now. Perfect time to get and enjoy an album from a hilarious person. And it's called Vertically Obese.
Thank you. Yes, it's out now. So please order.
Because you're a tall lady is the point of that title.
Is the point. Yep. Joyelle is just as tall, so she gets it. She's vertically obese, too.
Oh, yeah, and, baby. We did trees.
We are. We're trees. And everything. I'm on at Carmen Comedian for everything. So that's my social media handle.
That's fantastic. And I'm at Doug Loves Movies if you want. Strictly Doug Loves Movies talk on Twitter, or you could just go to my regular Doug Benson account, but I think everybody's listening knew about that already. I got a new podcast premiering very soon called Wide World of Doug's with Doug Mellard, and hope to have all of you on that podcast someday. One more time, I'd like to thank Clark Collis and Joyelle Johnson and Carmen Lynch, and as always, didn't I promise you fireworks? Yeah!
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room.